I was reminded that Scott Peck, who wrote The Road Less Traveled, reminds us that 90% of families are dysfunctional and the other 10% are in denial. When the creative planning team chose Little Miss Sunshine as the final movie for our Real Theology series, they asked me to talk about dysfunctional families. Why? Because we can all relate. And when the team began wondering what family in the Bible could we use as an illustration from Scripture, there were so many dysfunctional families to choose from that we had difficulty settling on just one. And in Bible study, because the story is so complex, we read through all 9 chapters of Genesis, known as the Jacob cycle. We read the complete story of Jacob so we could have a fuller understanding of the story. And folks couldn't believe how dysfunctional, how complex the interplay, the interrelationships really were. It can be very reassuring when we search the scriptures and discover that the Bible is full of people just like us, full of families with broken dreams, broken hopes and broken relationships, human beings who struggle in families with jealousy and betrayal, with pride and sibling rivalry, in-law problems, discrimination, power plays and conflict, resentments and age-old hurts, and the pain that comes in feeling like we don't fit, we don't belong. Failings, as if we are failing to live up to our dream of being part of a loving family. Because I think we all have that picture in our heads of the perfect loving family, and we all want to have that. And when our children don't get along, when we can't have children that we dreamed of, when our children don't turn out to be who we thought they would be, when people don't talk to each other, when partners are not on the same page or drift apart, when relationships are strained, families can be painful places to live in. And our modern family is no different from the biblical families, except for the fact, I think, that we use profanity a lot more. To an alarming degree, I often think if my grandmother were to come back in time, she would be appalled at the language that young people especially tend to use, but sometimes we older folks too, to express our frustration and anger. In the movie Little Miss Sunshine, we meet a modern dysfunctional family. We meet the father, played by Greg Kinnear, who has written a book, we discover, on success. And he is ironically failing to be a motivational speaker and to get his book published, but who is consistently telling his family that the world is made up of only 2 kinds of people, winners and losers, and don't dare be a loser. And in doing so, he pressures his son and little daughter to succeed. We meet the father's father, the grandfather, played by Alan Arkin, the grandfather who snorts cocaine and is addicted to porn magazines. Then we meet the mother, played by Toni Collette, who's just trying to keep this family together, and brings her brother, played by Steve Carell, home to live with them because they can't leave him alone. She brings him home from the hospital because he has just attempted suicide after his young gay lover rejects him for a colleague. Then we have the 15-year-old teenage son, who of course hates everyone in the family, so much so that he has now taken a vow of silence and hasn't spoken to anyone in the family for 9 months. The only thing that is getting Dwayne through the hatred of his family is waiting to grow up and escape his family by becoming a pilot and getting as far away from his family, flying away from them as far away as he can. And then there is the smallest member of the family, little 7-year-old Olive, who dreams of growing up and being beautiful and competing and winning a Miss America contest. This family struggles to remain connected through all of their individual pressures and societal pressures of being human, and clumsily attempt to support each other by all of them cramming into their old, beaten-down van and driving from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they live, to the Little Miss Sunshine contest in California so Olive can compete in a beauty pageant. And as this scene opens, they're all on the van. Olive's playing a game with her brother in which she's testing his eyesight when they discover that Dwayne is colorblind. And Uncle relays to Dwayne that since he is colorblind, he will never fulfill his dream of becoming a pilot. I warn you, it's a very intense scene, filled with some swearing, and I apologize in advance, but it demonstrates beautifully how this dysfunctional family meets the pain of being human and being family with truth and grace.
Inside the circle. Right there. See? It's an A. Can't you see it? Right there.
It's bright green. Dwayne, I think you might be colorblind. Fly jets if you're colorblind.
Dwayne, come on, we have to go.
I'm not going.
Dwayne.
I said I'm not. Okay, I don't care, I'm not getting on that bus again.
Dwayne, for better or worse, we're your family.
No, you're not my family. Okay, I don't want to be your family. I hate you fucking people. I hate you! Divorce? Bankrupt? Suicide? You fucking losers! You losers! Okay. No, please just leave me here, Mom. Okay, please, please, please. Please just leave me here.
Shit. I don't know what to do.
Well, it's getting late. Maybe... can somebody stay here with them?
I'll stay.
That is not happening.
All right, well. Just worried about the time. Olive? You want to try talking to him?
Richard, no, there's nothing to say. We just have to wait. Honey...
Okay. Let's go. I apologize for the things I said. I was upset, and I didn't really mean them.
It's okay, come on. Let's go.
Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the writer says that the Word, that God became flesh and dwelt among us full of truth and grace. Truth and grace. The two attributes that heal humans and our connections to one another. It's the presence of these two qualities offered together, truth and grace. When these two things are present, humans, couples, families, churches heal. Truth and grace. Dwayne spoke his truth. It was hurtful and painful for his family to hear how much he hates them. But they were able to listen and receive his truth, his pain, his hurt, his disappointment, his anger. And then he had the maturity, the grace to apologize for his hurtful words, and they in turn extended him more grace. For Jacob and Esau, through all the years of alienation and silence and unresolved betrayal and pain and anger and hurt, they were finally able to speak their truths to one another and then offer one another the sweet grace of forgiveness. These two elements, truth and grace, have the power to heal. It's always best if the truths we speak can be gently or lovingly or softly spoken. But even if we speak our truths in anger and scream like the teenage Dwayne, what is important is that we return listening and the quiet silence of understanding that his little sister offers, the compassion of his mother, which enables him to extend understanding and grace. If Esau had withheld grace from Jacob, or Dwayne's family had withheld grace from him, healing would never have had the opportunity to begin its work. It's hard to hear and receive angry truths of another. Even if we don't feel that their words are true, we still need to recognize that it takes courage and strength to listen to how we have been a disappointment and caused hurt and pain to another. It takes courage to confront someone who has caused us hurt and pain, and it takes courage to hear it. But it is in speaking our truths and having our truths honored and held that we can begin to heal the rifts between us. So today, and I invite us to think about our own families or any strained relationships in our lives, difficult relationships in the church perhaps. Have we had the courage to sit down with the people who have hurt us and share what it is we need to share? And when we have heard someone's truth, do we have the maturity and the wisdom and the grace to offer understanding and compassion and grace in return? It is in speaking and in listening graciously that healing comes to the human heart. Throughout this movie, there are beautiful moments in which, spite of all the crazy unhealth and pain of this family, underlying it all, there is this deep sense of love and vulnerability and support connecting all of them and holding them together. Through all of our interconnections, whether we can see it or not, are the fragile connecting threads of the Holy Spirit, weaving her love and connecting us all in the great web of life, like a beautiful, holy safety net poised to catch us when we falter and fall. It is the Holy Spirit of God that meets Jacob in a dream as he is running away, whom Jacob invites into relationship with him. And even though Jacob's invitation to God is fraught with selfish motivations and bargaining, God works with Jacob through Laban for over 20 years, helping Jacob to grow and mature into a better man. In Little Miss Sunshine, it is the clumsy love of a grandfather who believes in his little granddaughter no matter what that shines through Little Miss Sunshine. And it is the supportive grace of her entire family that helps this child to shine and be her authentic little self, which in turn brings the family together and helps them to heal. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of truth and grace. May we too live among one another with that same truth and grace, that we too, like Christ, might be instruments of holy, healing love. May it be so. Amen.